Dumelang Thobela, hello, and welcome to this week's news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Gwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues, Hemen Moloi and Nandi Intini. Guys, say hello.
Hi.
We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes. I hope you guys stick with us, and so sorry for missing out on the 2 weeks, but you know, life goes on, we move. So yeah, get comfortable and let's dive right into things. So obviously, just to dive up with a quick small bit, there was a lot going on in the CBD yesterday. Obviously, I think late in the afternoon, there was a huge, massive block up because of an unexpected strike by SAMU city employees. Nandi, can you please give us a little bit of that?
So the SAMU members were actually fighting for a wage increment, which started, I think, 2 weeks back, because on the 12th and on the until the 16th, they sat down with their employee, City of Johannesburg, demanding an increment of 9,890. So, according to the city yesterday, they said that these people, these employees, went to the street unauthorized. So, because of that, they will be going to the labor court. And now, apparently, the workers are saying, if that's going to solve the situation, then let them take us to court.
But they did go. They did strike unauthorized because it was a very unexpected thing. We didn't see it coming. JMPD had to quickly jump in and say, okay, guys, we're blocking off these roads because, you know, there was a massive backlog. We were coming back from Palm Ridge, and you know, thank God for Ntata Veli's quick reaction. And we went around the city to come back in. But guys, when I say it's a massive backlog, it went all the way back to, what's that place? Like Gold Reef City, like close to Gold Reef City.
Wow.
And you know how far Gold Reef City is into the city. But anyway, guys, I mean, there was a lot of tensions as well. I think I saw on social media SAMU employees fighting with a poor white man, Jamie.
And I think he was frustrated. I get the part that they were just protesting and they wanted this, but to litter in the streets, that's unnecessary. I mean, you can block the road by you being many and doing that, but littering on the street, it's just not it. Because who's going to tidy up
afterwards? They have to come back and tidy up the next day. Hemant, do you want to add in two
No, I'm just looking at the numbers. They say about 10,000. They are demanding 9,000.
9,000.
Wow. Yeah, the numbers.
You know what, guys? You see something. I feel like you win some, you lose some. So we'll see how the court goes and whether or not developing the city will agree. But I feel like I doubt. The city always like argues these things and they always seem to brush it under the carpet.
And how much are they earning?
I know minimum wage is about
5,000. I think around the 5,000 minimum wage, which is technically the same minimum wage as your house cleaners, your garden boys, and I think really they want more
Please
money.
Don't yes. call them garden boys and what cleaners. Are they called? Let's say people who help us from home. Because when you say, gardeners and cleaners, I feel like you are degrading them.
We're not degrading
It's not degrading
it's,
them.
It's more of, it's their title. I'm not degrading them. But at the end of the day, when you do count the statistics, when Stats SA comes to your house and says how many house cleaners are employed in this home, you know, I understand Vele, it can be a degrading job because sometimes they are disrespected in some way in their own homes, but it's a title.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't even want us to debate this.
We're not going to debate.
I'm just concerned that we all know that as black people where we come from and we know the job post that we're deemed to be for black people, those kind of things. So there are some words like your K words. I feel like those words, we shouldn't use them. So hence I'm saying maybe just say Malume. Let's not give them those titles, let's not go there. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on, guys.
No,
let's move on.
Out with the old and in with the new, as they say, guys. EFF Deputy President, well, former EFF Deputy President, Floyd Shivambu, left the party for Jacob Zuma's MK party. Ne? And obviously, it caused a lot of rift, obviously. So when the announcement was made, everything was great. It seemed as if Malema was fully behind him, supporting him. And then there was a whole 360 degree. Malema now labels the silent EFF members as enemies within.
If you want to live now.
But literally, I think he wanted to take ownership. He just wanted to take ownership of the whole movement.
I mean, he's taking ownership and just being bitter that your deputy president left, you know? Mm. But you know what? He was urging basically people who were not serious about the party to leave immediately. So let's just take a listen to that audio for that.
We must never be blackmailed by those who want to threaten us with leaving after the Third National People's Assembly. I want to say to them, leave now. Leave now so that we can know how many soldiers we have in this struggle to liberate our people. You must leave today because nothing is going to change between now and December. Nothing is going to change now and in the future. The future looks bright because we determine it today. We are here to make our destiny for how the future looks like tomorrow. Leave now. We have no reason to beg anyone. If you want to leave, leave now and leave us alone. Even if we are alone, we'll always continue to speak truth to power. It's very painful to count the soldiers you don't have.
I would also like to think that Shivambu, when he heard about Malema being like that, did not take the reaction very well. And obviously, during his press briefing, when he was announced the national organizer, by the way, what is a national organizer?
True. I thought it's chairs and what. But then when I read the whole thing, it seems like his secretary general, basically, because you organize their policies, you plan, you. So it's basically the duties of secretary general.
What's the point of a secretary general?
That's why I'm concerned. What's going to happen?
No, they didn't have a title for him. So I think that
he probably wanted to come in with
a
title.
No, we know Zuma. Because we come the next day, Floyd Shivambu will be president. We know we are sitting with his cabinet.
That's true.
We will sleep knowing that Thabo Mbeki is the deputy president.
Exactly.
When you wake up, the president has changed.
That is very true.
Yeah.
So that when Shivambu was speaking at the at Sandton at the MK party briefing, which obviously Zuma calls it a national address, Shivambu basically was saying that he will not be pleasing egos in politics. Obviously, this is an indirect hit to Malema. You know, let's take a listen to that audio.
The attempt for unification is not just an opportunistic one because there were electoral declines of the EFF and all of those things. It's a genuine political discussion, which all South Africans must enter into, those who are in favor of the revolution. Because revolution is the content of what we're standing for. It's not just, no, if it's me, you are betraying me. You know, some people will say, you are betraying me. Where does that enter? And you don't even once suggest that I'm betraying the revolution. I will never betray the revolution. Because we're not in the business of trying to please each other's egos here. We're in the business of building a revolutionary movement that is going to emancipate the black majority and Africans in particular, and we're unapologetic about that. That is what we stand for. And President Zuma, when he was inducting all of us yesterday, he says that we might be friends, we might think we're friends, but friendship won't apply here. If you do not do these things right, you're going to be taken care of appropriately.
I mean, firstly, guys, let's just actually take it back all the way back to when Floyd Shivambu said he was leaving. Did you guys see that coming?
Honestly, I didn't.
I also didn't.
And like, when I got a call in the morning and they told me, hey, Drew, the Asian media briefing is about Floyd leaving, I was like, nah, Drew, it can't be true. They actually going to respond to the allegations and say we are together. So I was like, eh. And then before it started and he was not wearing anything that had the EFF logo, I was like, okay, okay. And then he said, I'm leaving. I said, okay, these guys are planning it. And then
he said he's joining.
Umalema said, if you want to come back, you can
you
come.
You can always come back. You know?
Okay, these guys are playing us. But then Umalema on Monday, he was sweating and saying, if you want to leave, leave now. So it's bad.
It's bad.
And you could tell, although we played IOs in the whole saga, but then it was an obvious thing when Mbuyiseni Ndlovu's wife liked a post Floyd when he said the decisive and sound whatever decision ever. And then Umalema thought Jeb said that, and then the like was removed and we could see where there's
tension. There was just a lot going on. But I don't think on top of him leaving, we also didn't see him joining MK Pat.
MK.
I was very shocked as well when they heard him. I mean, did you see now they're making a meme out of him?
Not even the fact that making a meme. I mean, we had almost they started in 2013, but then most of Zuma's team, they were like, this guy is corrupt.
They're against him.
And they were saying, Floyd said, if you go with Zuma, when he finishes up, he's going to attack you as his right-hand man.
And now he's
there begging for a job. You could tell how happy he was. He was like a child.
And then you saw he
had to jump. He was so happy. It was like, first day at school.
But it makes you wonder what was going on in the EFF. Because everybody's like, the EFF has, there's been a rocky path in there has been a lot of tension within the party. And I feel like it also escalated after the votes, the elections. I feel like it went worse. And it makes you think, what exactly happened? Is Malema Vele being egotistical and not listening to his people? Or who is next to follow in Floyd Chivambu's line?
Nandi? Does Malema listen? does Malema listen? Because I think he's an aggressive man, Malema. So you can't really speak to someone who's so aggressive. And if he's not defensive, he just wants to prove points. So I think that also just played a part in them losing more votes. And the fact, we can't as a country vote for someone who constantly wants to fight. We want peace. When you constantly want to pull up fights and no, it's not going
to
work.
I know we're going to jump to this topic, but I want to add something. It's something that I've realized. You know, this thing, undocumented migrants and everything plays a huge role.
It does.
It plays a huge role. Even a simple line, Zimbabwe was found, you'll find it with more likes and
than anything else.
So I like to believe, as much as they want to say, hey, but then PA and whatever didn't get votes because they are supporting Ohem and Mashaba, and us, we lost votes because of this thing. It's not true. But then let's look at it, Joe. PA went and joined Operation Dudula, and we know what Operation Dudula is famous for. And we saw it paid out in terms of numbers. It paid out.
I think a lot of people would say that Velevele EFF lost their numbers because of what Malema has said. But I also think that there was a lot of context miss. I've been like Nandi saying, Malema can't really articulate his words properly. He can't speak, and he speaks in arrogance. And because he speaks in arrogance, people don't listen to him properly. And I think what he was trying to... I picture Malema as somebody who's very pro-Africanism. He's very much pro in terms of Africa being united. And I think he does understand the fact that there's borders, there's states, there's things. But I think when he was trying to articulate the fact that we shouldn't be really be xenophobic, I must say like that. We shouldn't be xenophobic and things like that. It lost the meaning. And let's not lie, half of the time people argue that Floyd Chivambu was the one who was writing his speeches. And when we say this, and people would like to say we're angry, it's not. That's like Malema can't speak. Let's put it like that. Malema can't speak. And because he can't speak, his words come out jumbled and they come out miscalculated and people don't listen to him. And that way, he loses his voters. Majority of the voters that EFF were from the ANC when Zuma was there.
Yes.
And because now Zuma left ANC, they were like, where else could we go run to? They went to EFF. But now Zuma's back. Zuma's back. And he has a big party. And we saw the numbers, what happened in the numbering polls, EFF.
I'm worried, Joe, with people down. Following MK. I'm not here to judge anyone, Joe. I mean, you followed a political party without a policy. You voted for it, like you marked your ex and said, you know what? I trust this guy. That's the only thing. You are not like, no, they advocate for free education. They advocate for this and that. You are like, I trust this guy. He's my ex.
That's true.
So I'm just worried, you.
But let's not forget, I think sometimes people like to actually forget that politics also involves tribalism.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to leave it there. Tribalism plays a huge role when it comes to politics. I mean, we can see it. Zuma was attacking Cyril because he was what? What is Cyril? Give him a Venda.
Yeah.
Venda. He was attacking him because he's Venda and he was telling his voters, why would you want to vote for a guy like my brother, you know? But let's move on, guys. Let's move on. Speaking of something fishy, you know, making weird decisions. Our Fendi group, training Libyans who were actually never supposed to be here, right? So the Department of Home Affairs did an investigation and there was a portfolio committee with, obviously, the minister himself into how they came to be in the country. And the investigation revealed, man, that the visas that were issued to them were very much fraudulent and they had a lot of irregularities in, there was a process, right? So there's a mission, a South African mission, which is an embassy in Tunisia. And the DIRCO, what does DIRCO stand for? The Department of International Relations and Cooperation. So the DIRCO official in the embassy in Tunisia says that she couldn't process the documentation properly because their system was offline. So because it was...
There are always excuses in these things.
Because the system was offline, she had to resort to doing all 95 applications by hand. And because she did them by hand, it seemed as if she was like, they're great according to me. And they went through.
South Africa is funny.
Wait. So she's saying that... While she was in the process, the system went offline.
She says when they started processing it, it was already offline. Okay. So when these people came in, mind you, not even people, one agent representing all of these 95 people came in with all 95 applications, which is not allowed. Which obviously the person, when you do a visa, you need to be there in your flesh and blood. You can't have somebody representing you. So that was already the first irregularity. And she let it pass by. The second irregularity was that there was no police clearance. Again, she didn't pass by.
That was it.
There was just a lot of irregularities, guys. There was no address on the applications. There was no birthplace on the applications. The pictures on the applications were not there. And on top of that, the applications themselves were really old. Were not even the new, were not the current ones that they were supposed to be applying for. And she still went on to process them. And the icing on top of the cake, like, guys, they didn't give a reason for why they were applying for a visa. So she just stamped, okay, study visa. And that's it. And it ended there. And then, so now, obviously, the acting director asks her, why would you process these applications? Hmm. She says...
The system was okay.
Obviously that was one of the reasons. She says that the system was offline and also there was no senior at the time. She's like, okay, so now the action director is like, if there was no senior, why didn't you contact Home Affairs to check these people? She didn't give an answer. And obviously the 95 Libyans came through to the country and they were training. But here's the kicker. The investigation only comes after the 95 Libyans were deported.
Wait. You know what? I hear that they came with their visa story stuff and everything. These guys were found with guns and stuff. Okay, sharp. We leave it at there. We go to court, first appearance, the state is confident that we are prosecuting them. The third time they come and say, we don't have evidence. Let's stop this thing. We don't have evidence.
I think that was also something that shocked a lot of people. Why would you drop the charges? We know that they literally intervened the Immigration Act. Like, there was a lot of indiscrepancies in this whole case. It makes a lot of people think, what's going on?
We are a lawless country.
Guys, that so, anybody can just come through.
Yeah.
With study visas, quote and unquote, that
So my concern, man, it's an issue of NPA deciding to withdraw the case. Okay. I understand that some of the cases they had to withdraw because it was embarrassing for them. But then we saw how they pushed and pulled through for Eskom guy, the former boss, Matela Gogo.
Yeah.
We saw like they were even contacting ABB in America saying, give us evidence. We saw with this lady, and they are pushing, they are grinding. But we have seen a couple of cases whereby
they really do.
As citizens, we feel like, you know what, they are just playing with water. We feel like, no, man, they want taste in water. But then we were giving them a benefit of a doubt because, okay, sharp. But here, there's salt in the water and they say, no, we can't taste the salt.
No.
How? How? There's salt
and
in the water.
That's my problem is that, like, and my thing is, I would understand if the judge, obviously the judge is a thing, the judge can't really open a case himself and say, we're going to continue if the prosecution says they're dropping it. But why drop a solid, it's a solid case. It's a very solid case.
And it's on its early stage.
You can't just drop it, jiggy.
I mean, the bombshell of the visas came like 2 days after. 2 days after.
If they had just waited, they could have, guys, and here's the kick. It keeps getting worse. My thing is that it keeps getting worse, right? So fine, the NPA drops the charges. Jiggy. The Libyan government goes from, no, we are not associated with them, to, no, we'll pay for their flight.
If they paid.
Because normally we are the ones who have to now pay for the buses and pay for the deportation to take them back, which they eventually even still find a way to come back. But, you know, it's still very funny that it happens. I mean, I feel like I hope this case keeps getting tackled more, because I feel like it doesn't end here, guys. I feel like this 95 Libyan story is still gonna grow. But anyway, guys, speaking of the Department of Home Affairs, we push and we continue. So, you know what? I think at this point, we must just actually thank, what's the minister? Leon Schreiber is very much a minister who is very much staying to his testament of transparency and accountability. I mean, now we hear about a 24-year-old man who presented a fake birth certificate bearing a unique code of a stolen stamp to apply for an ID, right? So I filled the story in for Herman. Herman was supposed to actually go do it himself on Monday, but he asked me to step in, and honestly, I hated every minute of it, but it's fine. So the investigation revealed that the stamp was stolen from the Centurion Home Affairs over a year ago and was used by a cleaner, Ranzu Chauke, to sell a fake birth certificate to an undocumented Mozambican national for about 6,000 rand. So now she appeared obviously in court at the Pretoria Magistrate Court on Monday and was granted 1,000 rand bail. Now, the thing is, we always know that these type of syndicates, they don't work alone. The person does not work alone. And in this case, it seems as if Chauke is acting as a middleman. The money comes from is transacted through her to another party. And I understand him, and now that there's two more people who've been arrested in the matter.
Mozambican
people who have also been
undocumented
arrested
in South Africa.
Wow. So now my thing is, here's how they I love the fact that now, well, I think I presume they always had it, but now Home Affairs has these unique codes on these stamps. So it means every stamp has its own unique code, has its own ID. Let's put it like that.
You know what's funny, man? So before you went to court, obviously I received the story from a source. He was like, "Hey Joe, go and check there. There's something fishy." Okay, I went there and then I asked a couple of guys, "So, and like, what is it that Chauke did?" But no, Chauke stole this thing, ne? Champagne, she stole it. And then they made a birth certificate for someone who's 24. Birth certificate. No, it's fine. We leave it at that. And then this person, he goes there into the lion's den.
Where the stolen thing
was. And say, "I want an ID." And then when he gets there and say, "I want an ID," the person who lost the certificate, the stamp, says, "I'm man, this is my stamp."
Which is actually, I was about to ask for, guys, is that not karma working in its own way? Because what are the chances that you go back to the same place the stamp was stolen?
So, couldn't
the person who said, "No, man, this is my stamp, Bobo." I thought, "No, this is my stamp." "Oh, you know what, chief? Go and fetch your father or your parent." And this one, the 24, man, there's something fishy. Why am I told to go and fetch? He comes to the father. "I'm a visa. Ambush police under arrest." "Hey, man. Okay, let's sit down. What happened here?" "Ah, no, we put a stamp. We put it the birth certificate." "Where?" "No, there's a lady." "Okay, sharp." And then the police checked the transaction. They paid someone and and they found out, "No, man, must this lady work at Home Affairs?" That story is funny, but it's a serious matter because guess how many, we don't know the number, I'm just assuming, guess in a day how many certificate they issue. They have like 6K from one person. Let's say you've got 10. Because obviously they don't operate in Pretoria Let's say you got 10. So you count those 6,000. Okay, fair, let's leave that. Let's leave the court case and everything. Let's go to this to Mozambique. The other one was found in Sunnyside. And they were like, "Chief, what's happening? We hear that there's a mshigashiga that you're playing on." And he was like, "Yes, I play mshigashiga, but I'm not alone." And he was like, nah, I just want people from Lesotho, Zimbabwe, Mozambique who don't have proper documents. And then I give them e number Chauke, and then Chauke will do the things that needs to be done.
Yeah. Well,
and then, but okay, you say you don't work alone. Ari, yes. But okay, who are you working with? Ari. Mamelodi. Abavisa Mamelodi. Bavisa Bito Cheki Lodi Tilima Masakatu. Oh, the story. Abavisa Cheki de Varejo. Dita. Ari, no. Keep business at home now. This is how we operate. But okay, so I spoke to one of the person who knows one of them and said, "Hey Joe, these guys, they have Audis, they have Rolex or diesel watches, they have luxury furniture inside, and they are unemployed. So where do they take the money from?" And the one of them had recently bought the Audi. So it was a nice life problems, but then at what cost? I mean, how many undocumented citizens that are in the country now because of this thing?
I mean, it's a big widespread thing that whom the minister is actually speaking about and how he wants to actually make sure the system moves from paper to digitalizing. Because it makes it much, much easier and also makes it difficult for fraudulent activities like this to happen. I mean, we look at the case here, Uchidima. Guys, and I didn't want to touch on it.
That's but
we want some of you. I won't say anything. I'm just saying we want some of you guys. We said, let's wait. Let them reveal what they have.
Okay, they call South Africans xenophobic.
And then you are taking Mackenzie.
We're not attacking Mackenzie. Mm. We're just saying, well, what would Mackenzie do in a situation like this? Because, like I said, he is not the owner of Miss Smith.
But he opened the door.
Yeah.
And the door is wide open now.
But technically, it was Miss Essay that decided, oh, no, let us go to the department.
She has the lever. You know, there's something.
She should have sat down and just...
I mean, guys,
there's so many briefings about her that I don't know how to catch up, but I hear that she was married at some point.
Oh, yeah. She is, I think, married. And she has a child. Oh, yeah, but now
she's 23.
She's not participating in the Miss Universe Nigeria.
Oh, she is.
Miss Universe Nigeria. Guys, but let's, you know what? We wish her luck. We hope. And I think she recently even did a video about how happy she is to be back home.
Where she belongs.
And then wait.
Okay, guys, let's move on before Herman goes on a rant. So obviously, moving on to serious things, guys. I feel like construction mafia is such a big problem in the country. Extortion and all these things. It has been ongoing since the time of Zuma, and it's funny how it like this. They keeps being coming up with new tactics and how these people just, you know, want to get money from poor people who are trying to actually make things benefit for the community, you know. So recently, Herman, with one of our senior editors, Lindile Sifile, went out and did this big project on extortion for protection. And obviously, there was some where medical practices, actually, I think in Soweto, is it Soweto or Javulan? One of the two began once again as criminals, gangs take their threats by the horns and, you know, are telling these poor doctors too that if they don't pay, it's your car, you know. Mm-hmm. So one, Lindile Sifile, was talking to a businessman and he was just speaking about how he's constantly being threatened and eventually even had to close his business if he does not pay. Let's take a listen to that audio.
So speaking of corner some case, begin I vola intimidation nina as a company. Intimidation of workers or whatever type of intimidation.
Bule it open gue chabla ma ponya my das e police station young up a trip down in a tea credit the lendole. Well as a chabla and bono at here co well facility. So cosaba and bafone ba make a show with buyers. Other than technical by the side.
Okay.
Well, I said, Jablan, Nikata, with Tetisan and Naban to Ikashalia Amber. It's under stress, but made it delivered. At the end of the day, he signed the contract and the client, if on a valid date, is featuring I.
Yes.
Yes, the government notification of delays and land the Rama JPCC contract, but Ikashalia Amber.
And then generally, how does this affect projects and ikuzo in that area? And do you think as company ningakwazi ukontinuisha nisebenze phana under these circumstances?
Financially, it's making unfeasible. Imali iyaphuma. For instance, lento lesi chuba ka ubelwe imaterial 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Melu ten a foot.
Yes.
And house melee insurance battle.
Mm-hmm.
How we melee insurance let your power no clip.
How's it clip?
By the time you battle insurance, the next job in UC premium.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we've managed jobs that say exactly no ganja, whereas we've encountered this with cleaning, kanga haka. Therefore premium ya ko meli nyonge. So everyone go I kupa budget, yes, some profit margin way too feasibly. In seven, that's a town because I want not a town to work on. It's like consumers out to suck up here, came to Paco, Santin, free community, as Alex.
Alex, yes.
If you can allow. into esiyibhiliva kuyo or thina as this company endiyisebenzelayo siyijongile loo nto and we just have to make means with ukusurviva.
So Hemming, can you just give us a little bit more context on this? I know you did the story as well with Ulindile.
Yeah. The story is actually scary because for Monday we were looking for victims of this thing.
Mm.
And it's one thing that was at some point famous in Mamelodi. There was a group called, or there's still a group called Boko Haram. So people are actually scared. You can tell, like, even when you go to Mamelodi, when you get to a home or a tavern or whatever it is that you get into, and you ask, Rachel, do you know about this thing? Mm. They will tell you, no, I'm not a victim, but I know a victim.
Mm.
And they say, Kwena is the victim. Where you go to Kwena, Kwena will say, no, Joe, I'm not. But you can tell there's much you want to say. And then another thing that we're doing, it was over the phone. Like, I spoke to some people who call them activists. I'm actually disappointed because some of them told me straightforward, Joe, this is something that we don't want to touch. So why will you call yourself an activist?
There are things that you don't want to discuss.
You want to touch and don't want to touch. Like, okay, you can switch on your activism today.
Yeah, it's,
and
it's conditional.
You're like, oh, no more. So yeah, it's actually scary. Even the people we spoke to, they were like, hey, Joe, make no direct link to me, to whatever I'm gonna tell you about, because it's actually happening. And we assumed it's happening only in Eastern Cape, but it's not. It's happening in Gauteng also. Just that people are scared to speak.
Say anything.
You as a journalist, do you even get scared? Because I remember on Monday, okay, on Tuesday we went to Mamelodi, but then we didn't spend time. And then on Wednesday, we got one of the victims in Mamelodi. And then after that interview, it was like whole thing. You know, Ejo, I was working with Umshavi as our photographer. Umshavi was like, Ejo, you look at my bag, I look at your bag. Because it's bad. It's bad. And he was like, we need to move as fast as we can because you never know who he was listening to. Because, like, in these cases, it's whereby you have to go and knock and say, hey, Joe, do you know about this thing? Yeah. Because no one will come and say, yeah, I'm a victim. And then I was actually disappointed in the responses that I got from the ANC councillor in Mamelodi. He said, no, we don't know of this group. But Joe, you know this group
they
exists. Then he said, there's two kinds of this thing. There are people who are for it because they're saying they are benefiting, and there are people who are against it. Yeah, okay, what are you doing to deal with those who are complaining? I don't know. They come to us, but they don't give us enough proof. Yeah, hey, Joe, I'm not sure if you have seen, but even the police will tell you, hey, there's no enough evidence
to will tell you.
Yeah, because these people come and threaten you, and when they come to collect, it's not a transaction like state capture. It's not a transaction like palapala if it's a corruption case. It's something that they will say, Ejo, give us money today or you die. We have seen them. They also ask for 30% from construction guys. So I'm actually disappointed in his responses. I'm sure he heard from the interview I had with him that I'm disappointed.
But it's a continuous thing because last year I was talking to the Minister of Human Settlement, Mamoloko Kubai, and she had a whole like 2-day conference in Parking. Was it Eastern Northern Cape? And she was speaking about how government sometimes even has to reduce their housing projects for them to pay for these security to these extortionists. So she would literally say that we want to provide housing units, but we now have to go into negotiations with these mafia groups, and we'd go from 1,000 houses to 500 because we have to pay the money.
And what makes them think that they own South Africa?
That's my problem. Like, and the thing is, my problem is that the fact that the government now even plays along,
yes,
it doesn't help as well. It doesn't help boost the morale. It doesn't help boost it. Because she even says that the amount of construction, the amount of housing projects we have lost to this construction market is so huge that they can't even restore them back. I mean, I'm not sure, Ubitorine, there's this one housing project that's been ongoing. I'm not sure if you see that one, yeah, the flats, that one taxi rank there, when you're coming in from Soshanguve. I think it's Marabastad.
Finally, it's been completed.
It's being completed finally now.
The only thing that it's still standing in Mamelodi East Court, which started in 2014. So it's basically 10 years. So yeah.
It's amazing.
So it's funny how these guys come to you and demand 30%, but they are not willing to say
exactly.
Ejo will give you workers, workers. Yeah. Just give us 30%. Let's negotiate and find each other on the same level. But this one say, Ejo, you must. Mm. And again, it all started with this thing. Remember, I think it's even the law. Whereby you are as a person who got the contract, you have to employ a certain number from the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then these ones have changed it to say, we're not gonna work for you.
We want the money. But it does not make sense.
Yeah,
it really doesn't make sense.
just give me the money. You know?
Yeah, I mean, so that late, like, they're so lazy, though.
But it is what it is, guys. We hope, obviously, guys, honestly, I hope that the police was Umchune. It seems like Umchune is doing great work so far.
Gonna give Umchune.
Umchune. That one. We hope Umchune. Thank you. I will practice heaven. So we hope, you know, everything goes well and he does his job properly to a point where now we can actually, you know, see some sort of prevalence especially with these construction cases. But yeah, you know what? No?
But then it seems like they don't have a plan. I don't think
they do have a plan.
I don't want to lie to you because, our senior, our editor, news desk editor, Ulindile. Ulindile went and did an interview, but this guy was not giving us answers.
Anything. So we'll just see, guys. We'll just see as it goes, man. But yeah. Okay, guys, thank you guys for joining us today. That's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast review and subscribe for free on Iono FM, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and obviously our producer is the lovely Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rhymes by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, as well as Gogo, Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena, and my colleagues, Nandi and Herman. Bye.
Bye.